I'm talking about renewing your mind and guard your heart. Renew your mind and guard your heart. I've been talking about renew your mind, and in that, I quoted Matthew 5 and verse 8. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God." The Message Bible said, "You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world." I want you to understand that when it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," it doesn't mean that they're perfect. It just simply means that their perspective is one that hasn't been tainted by the world. That's what it really means there. And I love how it says in the Message Bible, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. I want you to know that God is moving. God really is moving. But it's kind of challenging to see it if your mind is cluttered with so much other stuff. So that's where we just very quickly looked at again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. King James Version says, "I beseech ye, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye then may perform what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God." I love how it reads in the Message Bible. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. The word speaks of our minds being renewed. And I want you to know that the onus of our minds being renewed is on us. It's on us. He has saved us. But your mind renewed is on you. That's why He told Joshua, "You need to meditate on my word day and night. Don't let it depart from you." And what He's saying, and part of that is because you're going to hit some things and my word's going to need to be deep in you. We understand that through the word of God, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. So often we're dealing with thoughts in our minds, but the thoughts in your minds are really not your thoughts. They're the enemy's thoughts. They're the enemy's seeds that he's sown that causes you to think a certain way about some other folk. You ever have those thoughts enter your mind about somebody you don't even know? It's your thought. You think it's your thought? It's the enemy feeding a thought. The very person that God may want to use to bless you, the enemy's feeding a thought to you so you'll never connect with them. Your mind needs to be renewed. My mind needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to be renewed so that every time you meet someone, you're not looking at them with skepticism. You're not looking at them in a way that causes you to not be open to what God is doing. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. They shall see God. They shall see God. You ever been around somebody and they just seem to see everything in the positive and never the negative? Does it agitate you sometimes? Yeah, you know what that says? That says that they're in a different place than you. See, sometimes we'll look at them and say they're gullible, they're ignorant. But what if they're just not given to allowing the world, the culture, the enemy, to cause them to see it except the way that God wants us to see it. Ah. Say, God, renew my mind. Renew my mind. Now, you can't live your life wondering what people think about you, but you can manage your thoughts about others. And you want to do that. We're so quick to try to size people up. We're so quick to try to judge people. That's why when we meet people for the first time, we start asking them questions. What do you do? If they're born again, you know they're a believer, where do you go to church? Doesn't matter. I'm in the same kingdom you're in. I'm in the body of Christ. Can we just land right there and keep it moving? What we're trying to do is we're trying to size a person up. We're trying to do that based on our thinking. One songwriter said it like this: I'm having a hard time feeling claustrophobic in your small mind. Come on, say, take the limits off. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Part of the disciplined life of a believer, a mature believer, where you've allowed the word of God to take root in your heart that can help you in your thought processes, will cause you to think some things differently, even cast down certain thoughts when they come to mind. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Philippians 4:4-9, I'm somewhere in the middle of this because I'm reading it through, I think this is New American Standard Version, but he writes this, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if any worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Talking about, think about those things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Renewed mind. Renewed mind. Renew your mind, guard your heart. In my initial sharing of this, the reason why I believe God had me frame it that way is because I believe you can have thoughts in your head that you never want to get in your heart. And so you've got to deal with it before it gets there. Because once it gets in your heart, it gets rooted. And how many of you know sometimes it's hard to get weeds out? It's amazing how fast weeds grow, isn't it? Your grass won't even grow, but weeds will grow. That's because we're in a fallen world. There was a book out years ago. The title will come to me in a moment. It's a story about a man whose daughter was lost, and eventually she died, and he ended up in this kind of journey where he met God, the shack. Thank you, the shack. Anybody familiar with that book at all, The Shack? If you've never read it, it would be a good read for you. But one of the things that stuck with me about it is when, I can't remember if it was Holy Spirit in it that took him to this garden. Some of you remember that? And the garden was full of weeds. So much so that you couldn't see the beauty of the garden. And then he told him, he said, "This is your heart." You must learn to guard your heart. You must learn to guard your heart. Once you're born again, you really want to pray the prayer that David prayed in Psalms 51. "Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit." Now, many of you, or most of you, maybe all of you know that David prayed that prayer after he had committed adultery, after he had put Uriah out on the front lines in order to kill him to try to cover it up. The thing about David, and this is why God says he's a man after my own heart, is because David always owned his stuff. He always owned his stuff. When we say, "Lord, I invite you to come into my heart and be Lord of my life," you want to be open to the house cleaning. You want to be open to the renovations. You want to be ready for the makeover, the demolition, to bring about the transformation. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. Y'all know that song, don't you? Thank you, Lord. So it's in Proverbs chapter 4 where we receive a very specific instruction concerning the heart. And as I finish out my time for right now, this is what I want to focus on. I think that if you're taking notes, let me just give you a few scriptures I want you to write down, though. Write down Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Jeremiah is writing there and he talks about the heart being deceitful, above all things, desperately wicked. Write down Mark 7, 14 through 23. Jesus speaks about the heart of the man, the heart of a man. And in it, that which proceeds out of the man is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile the man. He's talking about the heart. I said Mark 7. Did y'all get that? Mark 7, 14 through 23. I'll give you these scriptures real quick because I'm not going to be able to go through all of them. Psalms 119, 9 through 16. It's there the writer says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The Message Bible, it says, "I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart so I won't send myself bankrupt." That's a good one. And now I'm at Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 27. This I want to read to you. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flows the springs of life." King James says, "With all diligence, keep your heart, for out of it are the issues of life." And then he goes on and he says this, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." The Message Bible reads like this. "Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts." And so I like to phrase it this way. What I love about God's word is he never speaks something to you and then tell you not how to do it. Now, there are certain things that he will give us vision of, and then we have to walk it out by faith. But there's certain things when it comes to walking out righteousness, he's going to tell us. You'll never have to guess on whether you're doing it right. And so I think of these points, these three points, and that's what I want to focus on here for the next few moments. And repeat it after me. Watch what you say. Watch what you watch. And watch where you go. Come on. Watch what you say. Watch what you watch. And watch where you go. That's what the writer is saying here after he says, "With all diligence, keep your heart, for out of it are the issues of life." So, number one, in the Message Bible, it says, don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Watch what you say. Don't let your mouth mess you up. That's just another way to say that. That's maybe not as polite as saying, be careful what you say. Don't let your mouth mess you up. You can think it in your head, but don't say it. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years because they said some stuff they never should have said. He brought us out here to kill us, and our children are going to be prey, and they just listed everything. And when they came back to their right mind, God said, wait a minute. I heard what you said. And so here's what we're going to do. All of you that bought into that narrative, he's like, you're not going to play me like that. I know I'm using some vernacular that's... Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Watch what you say. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We all know that. We all quote that. And this is what the word says here in Ephesians 4:17 through 32. And Deborah, just kind of flow with me because I'm reading down into the text. Therefore, laying aside falsehood. What's he talking about there? You know, my lying. Quit lying. Speak the truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil any opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. I want you to notice there, he's not talking to an unbeliever. He's not talking to an unbeliever. He's saying, saint, quit stealing. Quit taking what's not yours. And then he says this. Now I'm back to watch what you say. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Let no... Let no unwholesome text come from your phone. Now I'm going to turn this way when I say this next one. Let no unwholesome post show up on Facebook, TikTok, X, what's Instagram. Y'all can quote them. I'm going to look around. Hey, David. I love the Holy Ghost. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, your fingertips, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Think about this. Some things you say, some things you write, some things you post, you're grieving the Holy Ghost. My God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now, I want to tell you something. I am very intentional with what I post. And the reason why is I got an opinion. And sometimes it's a strong opinion. But there are so many opinions out there. And many have bought into the fact that because you can post something out there, it makes it valid. Or it gives you credibility. Sometimes your credibility shows up in your silence. I will not even give time to that. If you can't say something that's going to bless, don't say anything. I know that's hard for some of you. I'm talking about renewing your mind, and I'm talking about guarding your heart. See, is it possible? I'm not going to get through all of this. Is it possible that you as a believer are sowing things that are finding their way into the mind of others, and they don't have the discernment to know, I can't let that get in my heart? Church, watch what you say. With all diligence, keep your heart. How do you do that? Watch what you say. Now, we know, and Pastor Deborah, find for me speaking faith-filled words. We learned in this house, we teach, we live by speaking faith-filled words. Watch what you say. And so you and I, we've learned that as we're walking through life, in this life, you're going to have challenges. Oftentimes, those challenges can be physical, they can be financial, they can be relational. But we have to discipline ourselves to manage what we say. That's why we've learned, and I shared with you that when I had my health challenge back in, started in 97, went to 2012, that never along that journey did I say, I have, ever. What I did say is what I said the doctor said, and I always countered it with, but what he's talking about doesn't belong to me. It was born on the cross over 2,000 years ago. Now, I steward this body. You only got one body. Steward it well. That's why Paul said, I buffet my body. He didn't say, I buffet it. Okay, I'm really about done. I mean, I'm going to have a good meal when I leave here, and I trust you might be too, but we've learned to steward our words to help us steward our bodies, help us steward life. So this is what we say. Come on, we're going to read it together. You ready? That was not a rhetorical question. You ready? Okay, now I need that volume right there. Here we go. Faith-filled words are words spoken that are in line with the Word of God. No, Eric, you keep playing. And the word directly from the Word of God. They are positive words spoken with expectation and anticipation that allows God room. They are words that ring with confidence. Stop it, Edie. That God is able to work in any situation, regardless of its complexity, appearance, or predicted outcome. They are words of hope, joy, peace, love, blessing, and life. All right, if you can figure out a way to get all that on one screen one day, I'd appreciate it. That would just be a little more helpful. I know when we changed our software, it changed some things around. Faith-filled words. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. How do I keep my heart with all diligence? Watch what I say. Watch what I watch. And watch where I go. This responsibility is your responsibility and my responsibility. There's no such thing as shut mouth grace. Somebody said that one day to me. I had to pray, Lord, give me shut mouth grace. No. You just need to be quiet. You don't need grace for that. That's discipline. That's bringing your flesh under subjection. Your words, my words, have the ability and will either bless or curse. So I've chosen that everything I say, however I say it, I want it to be a blessing.